Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Lawrence Holmes, noon to 2 on Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, a radio.com sports station.
They have to do everything they can do to make sure they have taken as few risks, as few chances at the kicker position as possible. And, you know, if that means paying a premium price, maybe that's something that they have to seriously consider.
That was Dan Pompey, the Hall of Fame NFL writer, talking about the Bears and Robbie Gould. He was on Mully and Haw this morning discussing it. I'm a little bit surprised that we're spending as much time on it, but it's a significant story since he's broken off negotiations with the 49ers and requested that they trade him and that he could be closer to home and the personal aspect of it. A texter earlier, I didn't get a chance to get to this, but it was interesting that I thought it was an interesting point that if this is Antonio Brown or Le'Veon Bell doing this, it's not as lovable as Robbie Gould doing this. It's not for some people. Here's where I stand on this, and I see some people have already answered the question that I threw out before the break. If you're just joining us, thank you. We appreciate that. We are here every day until 2 o'clock, like talking about all sorts of stuff. Does it have to be Robbie? Or is there a way that Bears management could satiate you without it being Robbie Gould as the kicker? 312-644-6767 is the number. Here's where I stand on this. I agree with Dan Pompey that the kicking situation was bungled so badly last year that you almost need proof. You almost need proof from the Bears that they know what they're doing. The easiest route for them to show the fan base they know what they're doing is to bring Robbie Gould home in the Bring Robbie Home campaign. That would be them saying, we screwed this thing up. Maybe we shouldn't have cut him in the first place. Put an asterisk by that. I have a thought on that too. And we're going to write that. He has been one of the best kickers in NFL history. He is one of the leading scorer in our franchise. We're going to bring him back and that's it. The problem is that you can't just do it willy-nilly. That you've already sunk so much into the kicking position if you're the Bears. You sunk all that money into Cody Parkey that you're still paying for. You've made an investment, and how deep do you want to go in that investment? Now, the flip side of that investment is, are you a Super Bowl contender? Do you fancy yourself a team that could win it all? Well, you know what could stand in the way of you winning it all? Not getting your kicking situation fixed. When it comes to that position, you should pay a premium for the best that do it. Robbie is the best that does it, but is the cost too high? I would completely understand if the Bears are like, no, thank you. We're good. We appreciate that you would like to come home. There's a way that you could come home. You could retire, and then you could spend all the time you want with your wife and your family. Don't make us the reason that you can or can't come home.
I do enjoy the the amount of power players in the NFL now have and now are enforcing now. The NBA players have been doing this for a little while, but now the NFL players are like, you know what? I don't like my current situation. I think I want to change that.
But I don't think that Robbie's in a position to do that.
I mean, he certainly feels like it.
Well, he's always felt like it, which might be one of the issues of why they don't want to bring him back to the team. He's a big personality, and that's not ordinarily a position where one gets to have a big personality. I'm not saying that he should change. Do you? But I would also understand if the Bears were like, we're good. Thank you for your interest in the Chicago Bears. We're going to go forward with this plan that we have, and we think that we have made a significant enough upgrade at the position that it won't cost us a playoff spot again. But there's more. If the Bears don't make a deal for Robbie Gould, or if the 49ers don't rescind the tag and make him a free agent, and then he could sign with the Bears, and then the Bears do have kicking problems this year, it's going to be a very easy thing for Bears fans to go, see, I told you, you should have signed Robbie Gould, like they were doing last year. The Cody Parkey thing was just a nightmare. I am pleased that the Bears are at least bringing in multiple people to try and figure this thing out. I'm pleased that they are trying to explore that, and they should keep doing it. You should be churning over kickers over the next few months. And if one of these dudes wins the job at camp and then isn't good once you get into the regular season, you keep doing it until you find the right fit. That's how the Bears ended up with Robbie Gould in the first place. Let me just offer this before we get to the phone calls. 312-644-6767. For those of you who are asking Robbie if he were to then become a free agent, for him to take a team-friendly deal, I find that incredibly unfair of you. And if Robbie does do that, if I were a player in the union, I would find him to be a hypocrite. You've been telling us for a decade that we're not getting what we deserve as players. You had a chance to be the highest paid kicker in the league and turned it down. You're taking salaries backwards instead of forward. That would be my position on it if I were a player and I saw him doing this. Happiness matters, and I am all for Robbie being happy. And if he wants to be closer to home, he's definitely earned that right to make the suggestion. The 49ers are under no obligation to help him in that regard, and neither are the Chicago Bears.
That's all it is a suggestion.
That's exactly what it is. Suggestion. You're under the franchise tag. You were getting ready to make a life out there. They got houses in San Francisco. They're hella expensive, though.
Can you imagine him sitting out?
I kind of can. He's headstrong. That's how you become a player rep. You're out here trying to make the lives of players better. I can totally see that happening. But then how are you going to feed your kids? Shorewood and Brian. Hey, Brian, you're on the Score.
Hey, Lawrence. I love the show. Thanks for taking my call. Pretty plain and simple. I just want a kicker who's got the motivation to become a kicker that the Bears are always looking, that we've been looking for. And I want a kicker that's, you know, just going to, you know, go head over heels over the top to do everything he can to become that kicker. Like, you know, go to Alaska with a GoPro on your head and just kick field goals all day to just show that, like, you are just doing everything you can. You wake up every single day, you eat, sleep, dream, kicking the football. And we can see that motivation. We can see your drive. And, you know, if you fail, like, at least we know, we can see all of that. And
look, I don't know if you need the guy to go to Alaska, but learning how to kick at Soldier Field, it's complicated. This city's reputation as the Windy City is based in politics. It's something that people often get wrong, but it also is windy here. And there, in the way that place is shaped. The winds swirl. It's difficult to kick there. Although opponents of the Bears at Soldier Field haven't been having a lot of problems making kicks there. What you want is a kicker where you're not on the edge of your seat. And that's what happened with Cody Parkey. Last year, there was a point where you were like, I don't know if he's going to make it or not. The level of confidence that you had in him kicking wasn't very high. Imagine what it was for his teammates. Imagine what it was for Matt Nagy. And if I wanted to be real petty, I could show you the drive charts where Matt Nagy was like, fourth and three? Yeah, we're going to go for it because, don't trust the kicker. That's what you want. You want someone who is going to give you the confidence that they're not going to miss the kick. I think it can be accomplished without giving up draft capital or paying another kicker $5 million. But we'll see. And also, let me just say this. If the Bears decided that Robbie Gould was the right course of action, I wouldn't have a problem with it because he is one of the greatest kickers of all time, and he's not just laying back on his resume. There's also recent history of him kicking the hell out of the ball. Out to Woodridge and Cameron. Hey, Cameron, you're on the score.
Hey, Lawrence. I got a couple thoughts. First, I really like your commentary in the D. Rose documentary, so that's just kind of a side piece. But going back to your earlier question with Robbie Gould, I think at this point he is the only thing that's really going to satisfy the Bears is to have a consistent kicker that we know kicks well. I think he was the highest percentage kicker last year. I think that if they would have gone out earlier in free agency and got like Gostkowski or something, that would have been fine. I think everyone would have been fine with that. He's a proven kicker. But all the kids that we have on our roster right now, they don't have experience kicking under difficult circumstances, which is nearly impossible to replicate because it's just different in a playoff game when you have to nail the 35-yarder or the 40-yarder to win the game. You can't recreate that kind of pressure for these guys. So I think having a veteran kicker that last year was the most accurate kicker in the NFL come to Chicago and shore up that position. I don't think that there's a price too high if we think that we're a kicker away from winning the Super Bowl. I don't think anyone in the fan base is going to say, well, maybe we should hold off and just take chances on that position.
Well, wait, I think, Cameron, that's a very cavalier way to say it. And let me extend your thought out. So would you pay Robbie Gould $20 million?
If it wins us a Super Bowl, sure.
Wow.
If $20 million is literally enough to get Robbie Gould here, and that would guarantee us the Super Bowl, which I know is impossible in this hypothetical situation, then it doesn't matter.
I feel like that's really reckless.
I think we're straying away from, like, they still need to field a good football team, and they still need to play well. Like, everything doesn't come down to the kicking position.
So everyone wants them to trade all their picks to get back into the first round for somebody and sign Robbie Gould to a crap ton of money.
I understand where if you're a fan of the team, you want them to do everything they can to try and win. And you have ample right to be angry at how they handled the kicking situation because it proved to be a major factor, if not the lone factor, but a major factor in why the Bears didn't advance. Tony's right, and you'll never hear me say that. Tony's right. We are acting like we're just going to open up the season and advance the Bears to the playoffs. Be prepared for that not to be the case, and not just because of the kicker. There are plenty of other things that can go wrong, like, and the Bears saw this at the end of the season last year. The Bears were really healthy. The likelihood of them being as healthy is not as strong. Now, to be fair, and I've said this before, we have gotten on the Bears training staff when you have a bunch of injuries happen. I think that it's fair to praise the Bears training staff for keeping the team healthy, including two players that had no training camp, last year with Khalil Mack and Roquan Smith. I do think that they're a team that should consider themselves close. And if you consider yourself close, then you have to make sure that your kicking situation is as good as it can possibly be. But I don't know if that means chasing away your future or paying more than you want to pay.
For a kicker.
For a kicker. For a kicker that might not fit into the culture that you have put together in your locker room.
How do you know he can dance? It'll be awkward in Club Dub if he can't dance.
I think Robbie can dance.
Think so?
Yeah, he's danced before. I think he'll be fine in Club Dub. But what you are bringing into your team is another leader. And do you need one? Because you're expecting your quarterback to be that guy. The defense is fine. They've got Khalil Mack and Akeem Hicks. And you kind of paid Cordarrelle Patterson a lot of money to be kind of your special teams dude. Just saying. This hour is being brought to you by Mega Pros. Repair, remodel, renovate. MegaPros.com. Out to you, Elkhart, Indiana, and John. Hey, John, you're on the Score.
Hey, how you doing?
Doing really well. What's up, John?
Quick question for you here. Do you really think the Bears are a team that can score at will in the future with Mitch Trubisky?
Hold on a second.
Do you think?
I feel like that leads us into the Is Mitch Good show, and I don't want to do that show today.
You were bordering it a little bit.
No.
A little bit.
How?
When I mentioned that the offense and the defense still needs to play well, you were almost on it.
No.
And then I think that call was like, yeah, I got him on this one.
No, I don't want to do the Is Mitch Good show today.
I can interpret what he was going to say to make it not that.
Okay, go ahead.
The Bears offense was more conservative last year, especially towards the end of the season.
They sure were when Jordan Howard had a great December and you were giving him the rock all that time.
Yes, so are those 3 points more valuable to the Bears than they would be to other teams that have more potent offenses week in, week out?
Yes. I think that with a young quarterback, whomever that quarterback is, a consistent kicking game is helpful to breeding confidence that the drives that you go down on and you're trying to extend a lead or catch up in a game, that those are being converted into points. I think they're valuable because other quarterbacks like Aaron Rodgers can overcome some of that stuff. Even though last year he didn't. Tom Brady can overcome some of that stuff. Russell Wilson can make up for some of those things not being 100% right. Young quarterbacks, whomever they may be, are not always capable of doing that.
Ryan Pace didn't rule out drafting a quarterback.
That would be a something. They need someone to replace Tyler Bray in the quarterback room, but they keep talking about how they got a good room. We got a good room, man. You know, Chase is there.
They got a lot of good rooms. I want to see those rooms. What do you think those rooms look like?
I know what those rooms look like.
But are they nice?
Yeah, they're all right. I mean, they're basically just classrooms, though, Tony. It's a board. It's a whiteboard. And
I thought it was like, you know, lounge chairs.
Nah,
like
that's not. That's not how it works. It's not how any of this works.
Shockingly, Tony, not that familiar with what a classroom looks like.
Mm. Or Hallis Hall.
True.
These are things.
Tony, do you know who Hallis Hall is named after?
George Hallis. Yeah.
Very good.
There we go.
Hit the buzzer on yourself on that one.
Who's George Hallis?
It's a good follow-up question, Campy.
George Hallis.
Oh, boy.
Was one of the starters of the NFL.
Okay, yes. We would go with founder, but starter is fine. We would allow that.
And
stop.
The head coach.
Stop. You're fine. Okay. With that answer.
Okay.
If you go on further.
Can I go one more with him?
Okay. Go ahead.
What was the original name of the Bears?
Ooh. Is that a deep cut?
Not really. I'll give you a hint. It is represented every week at games. There is a reminder of it every single week at home games for the Bears.
I'm not going to get this one.
Okay. This segment is brought to you by International Champions Cup. Get ready for soccer's first tournament of the year. On July 16th, catch the International Champions Cup as AS Roma battles Chivas de Guadalajara right in their own backyard at SeatGeek Stadium. Get tickets at SeatGeek.com today. See, I was trying to.
What were they called, though, really?
I was trying to let Tony finish that segment on a win. I mean, I allowed the follow-up question, so I take the blame for it. It is a solid question by you, Campy. I was trying to get him to...
Has Tony earned the dub, though?
He needs one. And so if he has to have a win, well, let's give him this one.
So this was supposed to be the slump buster?
Kinda, but then you... Every week at home, there's... While Tony figures it out...
Were the Sox in Toronto for that?
Yes, they were. Very good, Campy. We'll take a break. Back after this on The Score.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
This is Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, Chicago Sports Station.
The bottom of the hour is being brought to you by Northwestern Football. Join the Big Ten West Division champion Northwestern Wildcats at Ryan Field this fall. Matchups include Ohio State, Iowa, and more. Season tickets are on sale now at NUSports.com. Marshawn Lynch said that he is done playing football. And I feel bad because we brought this up in talking about our buddy Alex Brown yesterday on the show. But I don't feel bad, so bad, that I'm not going to play the Beast Quake run from Marshawn Lynch.
Crowd silent now, as opposed to when the Saints have the ball. Oh, look at this run. What a run. Marshawn Lynch, still on his feet. Has blockers now. He's dancing his way for the touchdown.
That's as good an effort as I've ever seen in my life from a running back who they traded for from Buffalo. Downhill, physical, and down the field, you're going to see Matt Hasselbeck and the whole offensive line. Watch him cut it back, and you're going to see all kinds of people sprinting down the field to help him. He breaks the tackle of Shanley, runs through Sharper, runs through Adell, runs through Jabari Greer. Get off me, he says to Tracy Porter. Look all the way down the field, Hasselbeck. Are you kidding me?
It's pretty incredible. And the crowd went so bananas that it registered on the Richter scale. One of the most interesting guys that has ever played in the NFL. And Alex Brown tried to tackle him twice on that play. Once at the line of scrimmage, and then later on down the field.
I was looking for Alex, and then once I knew him, I was like, oh, no.
Yeah.
Is that why he needed to make the energy drink?
Yeah, stay charged, supercharged. It's Alex's energy drink that you can buy at Jewel Osco.
I bet he would have made the tackle if he had it back then.
You're just making this worse for me. That's totally fine. I deserve it.
Alex can yell at me, too.
Yeah, but he's going to yell at me. Does he even know you?
Yeah, he did Bears pregame.
Oh, that's right. That's right. Well, yes, he's going to yell at you too. Supercharged is pretty good, though. It's got just the right amount of caffeine in it.
It is.
Just the right amount for me. But yes, that was an important football moment, and Marshawn is incredible. Before we I want to do a little bit of basketball and talk a little bit about what Dame did last night. But before we do that, I would like to talk about Joe Maddon and the Cubs being above 500. I always like when Joe tells us something to watch for in a game or tells us what's going on with a team from a perspective that maybe we don't always have. And he did it yesterday when I asked him a little bit about Quintana and why Quintana has been so good.
Well, I mean, it's fastball command. He's throwing his fastball where he wants to, but beyond that, his curveball and his changeup. He's pitching. He's not just out there trying to throw fastballs by everybody. I like his pitching style right now. I think that's the biggest difference. When we first got him, if you remember the game he pitched in Baltimore, the first start in Baltimore, he was outstanding. Fastball, curveball, and some changeups. The changeup's gotten better, but the curveball he used more often. I like when he does all of that because I think he's less predictable from the hitter's perspective. So that's what he did last couple times. Locked in. He's always got great focus. Anybody will tell you he's one of the best teammates they've ever been around. So it's about utilizing all of his pitches. I think that's the most important thing with him.
He's been really solid. You're talking about great production out of Jose Quintana over the last three starts. The starter for Thursday is TBA. And I think, and you probably think too, it's not that hard. It's not like I'm Sherlock. That John Lester will fill that spot. And Bruce Levine was on with us earlier talking about that. Here's what Joe had to say about Lester and whether or not he feels comfortable putting him in that spot for tomorrow night.
It's possible. You know, Johnny, incredible comeback from this injury. I was watching him going through his rehab. I've had hamstring pulls. I was a professional hamstring puller, and I know how badly that hurts. And watching him go through this, I was really, really impressed. And then he did that little sim game a couple of days ago, and he was fine. So it's definitely within the realm of possibility. I'll know more today when I show up.
When it comes to a guy like that, you know, because John's a tough guy. Like it's a lot to take him out of a game or to put him on the IL. Do you have to protect players like that from themselves because he will push?
Yeah. Oh yeah. Listen, I've been concerned the whole time. The question. You have to watch it and really be mentally satisfied when you're watching the guy. I think you're right, Johnny will push it. He wants back out. He wants to play. He never misses starts. This is one of those metronome starting pitchers that just continually goes out there and does wonderful work. So it's not, he doesn't like this thing sitting around. He likes to sit around in the wintertime, not now. So I'm telling you, if you had watched the rehab, it was very impressive. And we'll see. It's a possibility.
Okay, so we expect that we'll hear word one way or the other later on today on that front, and keep it here to the score because we will let you know. The other thing that I thought was interesting was his thoughts on Tyler Chatwood, because Chatwood went out and pitched a really good game on Sunday. And I was trying to figure out like what that means as far as a role for him going forward and why he's a little bit better.
I was so happy for him. I mean, that was number one. I mean, and us, of course, but this guy's gone through a lot over the last year, a lot of frustration, mental frustration, searching for answers and not finding them. And then it all came together on Easter Sunday, man. He was unbelievably good. But what he did was, it's not something that he's not capable of doing on a more consistent basis. It wasn't a fluke. That's pretty much what we had expected, something along those lines. And so I think it's a great first step for him. It's something, like I said, it's repeatable. As he throws strikes, his stuff is that good. I mean, that's, you know, it's hard for me to explain that to people and they don't see results, but his stuff is that good. Fastball movement is kind of cartoonish, very similar to what Jake was able to do. And then if he's got that, he throws his breaking ball for a strike and the changeup. He's got all the weapons, man. He gets out righties and lefties. I was really happy for him.
So when he struggles, why is he struggling? When it's about fastball command, is that mechanical?
Yep, with him it is. It is, and then it probably gets a little bit on the mental side of things. He had a real busy delivery wind-up last year, and what we've been able to do is Tommy's been able to subtract one movement out of his delivery that's made it more concise and more repeatable. Out of the stretch, again, he's always pretty much been where he's at out of the stretch now. It's not dramatically different, but the windup is. And with that, just the way his arm's working, it's just more efficient. So I think he's gained confidence in repeating his delivery. And then with that, probably relaxes a little bit more mentally. I'll tell you, if he has another game similar to this or two, heads up, because he can get on a serious roll with the kind of stuff that he's got.
So how do you envision his role going forward? Is it as the spot starter, or can you find a place for him and maybe expand the rotation?
Well, we're not thinking of expanding rotation yet. I just need to get him back out when he's ready. He pitched on Sunday, Monday off, Tuesday. It's normally like a work day. He threw 71 pitches, I think, which is really pitch efficient. So he's not ready to go out and get back on the mound. I would say by tomorrow, if we need him out of the bullpen, possibly, definitely by Thursday, you'd get him out there in a long situation if needed. And then we just have to try to be creative. the days off are less now, and the guys are going to get into a normal pattern. Because right now, Quintana's pitching with a week's rest, and so is Cole tomorrow, and that's something that's really not desirable. But we'll try to get him involved. I got to keep him going back out there because you want to maintain what he showed on Sunday.
Some good stuff from Joe Madden. I'm going to go see Joe today, talk to him. We love having him on the show, and he's been a lot of fun. And the first, have we done, what, four with him now? It's been really good to, like, talk with him about other stuff other than baseball and then get the baseball education that he provides. On Saturday, you can get exclusive access to your Chicago Bears at the Miller Lite Bears Draft Party at Soldier Field. The Score will broadcast live with real-time draft analysis from Hub Arcus, Dan Pompey, and David Haw, along with Bears radio broadcast team Jeff Joniak and Tom Thayer. Listen to the guys, meet Bears players, tour historic Soldier Field, and much more. Tickets are $30, so visit chicagobears.com if you want to check that out. I got some basketball thoughts I want to bring your way and let you know a couple of things that are happening on the podcast that you might be interested in, especially if you're a fan of the Avengers. We'll do that next here on The Score.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
This is Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com. Chicago Sports Station.
That was the Korean call of Damian Lillard's game winner last night against Oklahoma City. I always love when we get the different language calls on it because you can, the level of happiness is so fun. Thanks to Tony for finding that. Thanks to Rick Camp for his hard work. Thanks to Laura Britt, who was on the show talking about Robbie Gould. Thanks to Bruce Levine, who joined us talking about the Cubs and Jose Quintana. And now we welcome in the McNeil and Parkins Show. They are here with me, and they will take you all the way up to 6 o'clock tonight. Hello,
Lawrence
boys.
Holmes. What's good up, to Lawrence? See you, Lawrence. I see there's a hockey fan hammering away here on the text line. What you been talking about?
Well, he I guess that texter is mad because I've talked about how...
It is one texter, too, by the
way. I told you.
Yeah.
That the Dame Lillard thing
said,
was
hey,
like...
the hockey fans are out. Nope, fan.
Fan. That the Dame Lillard thing was the best thing that happened in sports last night.
Uh-huh.
And
oh, boy.
Well, what about the Sharks and
yeah,
the Knights? Yeah, the Sharks winning that series was fantastic. But, considering the way that Dame did it from 37 feet to make a 50-point game.
Right.
To slay his rival and then dismiss his rival by waving goodbye to him after making the shot. And then just looking stone-faced afterwards, sorry, basketball wins on this one.
Yeah, I think nationally it's easy that would be the winner.
Yeah, I mean, the
locally,
end of
the most exciting thing is Javi Baez and the duck scene around the world.
And I'll tell you this, if you really would like to go into some hockey analysis, Mr. Hockey
Not
fan,
really.
Not you, Mac, but the texter. I will tell you that the Sharks winning was bad for hockey. Because you know who brought people to the television last year? Las Vegas. So have with that what you will.
Right. Did they bring people to television,
yes,
though? Did the ratings,
yes,
on NBC do okay in the final?
I mean, we're talking still in the context of...
Right, I understand.
Of hockey
still okay, though.
Numbers.
Okay.
But their numbers were pretty good last year because people were interested in that Vegas
team.
Yeah,
they put on quite a show in Vegas
for
those games in the Cup Final, too.
It was a crazy hockey game last night, though, right? It's pretty simple. Like, if you're a bigger NBA fan, the Damian Lillard game was crazier. If you're a bigger hockey fan... The hockey, because the hockey game was
insane. How people would break it down when they don't have an emotional investment.
Yeah,
yes.
The comeback in the hockey game was crazy, and that was also for a series. So I think they were both fantastic. I'm obviously with you. I cared much more about what Damian Lillard did, and the context, man, like the subtext of what he said afterwards, and how Russell Westbrook and them started chirping when they won just one game at home, and Lillard didn't say anything. And I don't know if you saw this, but on his Instagram, he just posted a Sun Tzu quote from The Art of War. It is the unemotional, reserved, calm, detached warrior who wins, not the hothead seeking vengeance, and not the ambitious seeker of fortune. Like, Damian Lillard was just a silent assassin until he finished the job, and then he talked all of the trash.
Which is great.
It's amazing.
And my favorite part was Paul George being like, that's a terrible shot. And he's right.
He's not right.
No, he is.
He's
Danny,
not.
He's right. That is a terrible shot, except for a couple of people.
Well, right. Well, so the guy who took it, it's not a terrible shot.
Not a terrible shot because he's been hitting those shots.
Well, he was 8 of 12 from 30 feet or beyond in this series, and he was 39% from 30 to 40-foot threes for the season. So
that's absurd.
So it's a terrible shot, yeah, for me.
Unless it's a terrible shot for
that's
most
absurdly good.
For 97% of the NBA population.
Everybody other than him and Steph.
Yeah, I mean Clay, Kevin Durant,
CJ. Honestly, CJ McCollum would probably be on that list too, but
it's not a bad shot, it's a new shot. Like Trae Young can take that shot. And there's also no downside to it, really.
Correct.
Because they're tied at home, up 3-1 in the series. So if he
just
misses
coming
it,
back too.
So if they miss it, he goes to overtime. That was badass. Like that was game within the game stuff.
And it was well defended. George did everything that you could to defend that shot, and he still makes the shot.
But when you say it is a bad shot, you have to take into effect, like when you're Paul George, who it is shooting it. It's not a bad shot for Damian Lillard. It's not.
And the fact that they switched Russ off of him so that you could guard him so that he wouldn't make a shot like that because you're a longer player and a better defender than Russ. What's crazy to me is that at the end of this, we're talking about, and I was joking, and Campy talked about the shooting numbers themselves, but we are like trashing a guy that went 29, 11, and 14 last night in the game.
And when? Win.
He's got to win.
They didn't get out of the first round.
Again.
They won one game in the playoffs again. And Damian Lillard is now better than Russell Westbrook. Like if you're doing your ranking of NBA players,
I think there's,
you can't
there's
have Westbrook
that,
above him.
I think there's an argument that he's been better than Russ.
No, I agree. But I'm saying if you would have polled 1,000 NBA fans before the playoffs, right, do your top 15 list in the NBA. They're both on everyone's top 15 list. But I would guess that the vast majority would have had Westbrook above Lillard before this series, and I don't know after watching that how you possibly could anymore. He dominated.
When I talked to Sean Hyken about this, and it's on the LoHo Daily podcast, he talked about how with Russ, it's almost as if his emotions are such a part of his game that he can't play with them, that he gets so mad and gets so angry about everything that he loses focus in trying to do all of this stuff, while Damian is able to internalize that anger and be like, oh, okay, so Dennis Schroeder, you're the guy that's talking smack. Fantastic. I'm going to file that, and then I'm going to weigh specifically at you when I put a dagger in your heart.
It was beautiful. It really was. We are Sports Radio 670 The Score, WSCR and HD Chicago, WBMX HD2 Chicago, a radio.com sports station. Plenty on Javi Baez and the Cubs last night.
You better believe it, Danny. I don't know if these are NBA fans. You talk about polling 1,000 NBA fans. My Twitter followers, a lot of them love the NBA. But I only got 500 votes so far. My poll today, should NFL kickers be seen and not heard? Yes or no? 61% say yes, 39% say no. As we continue to ooze our way to tomorrow night's draft and the Bears' search for a Cody Parkey replacement, Robbie Goldgate, day 3.
Yeah, I'm good.
This is our draft.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.